Espresso.
Hi, honey. How are you today?
I'm good, Mom. How about you?
Oh, I'm just wonderful. Thank you for asking. Listen, honey, what can I do for you?
Well, I won't keep you long. I just wanted to tell you about this blonde that I found.
Oh.
So amazing. Light and smooth and a little bit nutty, but man, I don't know.
Oh, boy, I'm so happy for you, honey. Oh, my heart. Oh, dear. We've been praying this for you for a long, long time now. Yes, we have. Oh, listen, honey, when I was your age, I was a beautiful blonde. I was light and smooth and a bit nutty, but boy, I brought the party. Yes, I did. Listen, honey, I gotta know, is she pretty?
I was talking about coffee. This week on Espresso Coffee Talk.
And then how are you genuine and how do you attract the right people if you aren't... like the right people in your life, the right friendships, the right...
Right, you would do toxic relationships.
Right, because you have... that's not genuinely who you are to begin with, but now that's how you've aligned yourself.
What do you expect?
The following episode is sponsored by viewers like yourself. If you would like to sponsor or donate, visit espressocoffeetalk.com. That's espressocoffeetalk.com.
Oh dear, the force is strong with this one.
All right, welcome back to Espresso Coffee Talk. Recently, I got together with my good friend Stephanie, who's been on the program before. We sat down and talked about what I have come to believe is a commodity, and that is the idea of truly being genuine. And I believe the word that I latched onto was genuinity. I do apologize for my voice. It's quiet, and I tried to speak into the microphone more clear because I've had this sinus thing going on. So apologetically, that is what was going on. So if you will forgive me for that, grab yourself a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy the show. So I got to tell you one thing that I really have noticed about me. And I've maybe told you this before. I know I've told you this before. But I really like laughing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's everybody. Well, yeah, duh. Who doesn't like to laugh? But I mean, an important element for me, some people are okay with not having the jokes and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. To me, an important element of any type of relationship is laughter.
Absolutely.
And I feel like with these podcasts, for example, mm-hmm. Like if there's not that element of laughter, I don't think that that podcast episode is fully me.
That's fair.
I don't think it takes on my full personality of who I am anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is fun because you tend to be very quiet and reserved and private.
Yeah.
Until like you get to know you and then we laugh a lot.
Right.
We have a lot of fun jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So it brings me into our topic tonight.
Oh.
And that is about being genuine. Mm-hmm. The idea of being genuine. I feel like true, genuine, here's the word that I've been trying to grab a hold of. Genuinity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like true genuinity is a commodity mm-hmm. these days. So I was just kind of thinking about this whole idea of genuinity, commodity. And mm-hmm. I think people put on this sort of facade sometimes. And I don't know that we intend to put on a facade, but I think that what we do is we try to masquerade some things or shove some of our deepest inner...
Mm-hmm.
idiosyncrasies and whatever else under sure. the rug. And but anyway, I wanted to bring you on because I wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah. I actually wish I would have saved it. I just saw something earlier today that said like the true testament of a strong relationship, friendship, whether a friendship or romantic relationship, whatever, is when you are completely genuine with one another. You share all those quirky things. Like you don't, those quirky things about yourself, you don't try to hide those things. And actually it was about, this is right. It was about people pleasing, how people pleasing is actually like an emotional, like an emotional response to some sort of trauma or something along the way, because you've learned to, what's the word? You've learned to kind of like filter out pieces of yourself to make sure that you fit into the situation, or so that you make sure all the people around you are happy, rather than sharing like your full genuine self.
So people tend to think that people pleasing, that's just who they are. Mm-hmm. And it's not.
I don't think so. Like I, for the longest time, thought that's who I was too, but like you do it for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't think that's just something that.
Yeah. What has brought you to that?
Right.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I've never really thought about that way. I think, a lot of people do the people pleasing. And I think a lot of us just think, well, that's just my nature. That's just who I am within me.
Right. Like, I don't think we do it as a way to not be genuine or not share ourselves, but I think
it is a response.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
After I read that today, I thought, oh, yeah, wow.
That is interesting. Uh-huh. So last time we talked.
Now, listen, maybe don't fact check me on all that because I don't know what the source was, but it made sense.
Okay. Fake news.
Fake news.
Last time we talked, you made a comment that has kind of stuck with me a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah. That people make a judgment, I think is how you said it, based on, what did you say? How many seconds?
I feel like it's like the first 5 to 7 seconds. We should look that up. But I think that that's what it was. Like people, when you meet someone new, you make a judgment about that person. Like, and I know we all say, like, I don't judge people, but like you decide what you think you know about that person in 5 to 7 seconds.
5 to 7 seconds.
That's not much.
No. Let's do 5 seconds right now.
Insert the Jeopardy song.
That's 5 seconds.
It's not very long.
Within that space, you have made some sort of judgment about somebody.
That's what I'm almost.
Do you feel like it's a judgment of, I am going to be this person's friend, or I need to run? That kind of a judgment?
Me personally, no. Well, okay. For example, no, I don't. Like, I try really hard not to do that, which sometimes, and I think we've talked about this before, like that whole follow your gut, like that's that 5 to 7 seconds too. Like you've made that, you know, like, you know, whether you need to run, like if you feel like you're in danger or the Holy Spirit's telling you to high step it on out of here.
Get it. Yeah.
But I try not to do that. Like I am genuinely interested in knowing what makes people be the way they are, what makes them tick. So I try not to do that whole 5 to 7 second thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like I need to find where that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, wouldn't it be funny? I mean, the conversation with my mom, I find a woman and I tell her, Mom, so-and-so and I, we're getting married. Mm-hmm. What? Who is she? I've only met her for about 5 seconds, but I knew within that first 5 seconds, she is going to be my wife.
Listen, first impressions, here we go, straight from the Google. First impressions are formed quickly, and research suggests that it takes around 7 seconds to form a solid impression of someone.
Interesting.
I mean, think about it. We've all interviewed someone.
Yeah, you and I used to do that.
Right. So you knew when the person walked in the door. Typically, we knew.
Right.
Which is scary when you think about it, because you're often, I mean, we've been on the flip side of that.
Well, but I feel like part of an interview process is, okay, you've in 7 seconds made a judgment. Now it's navigating to see if your judgment's right.
true. And I mean, I think that would be true with other relationships as well, but
sure.
But then there have been the situations in my life where I should have just
ran,
listened to the gut 7 seconds, ran the other way.
Yes.
But I went back.
Think about all the first dates.
Hey.
Not just you, everybody. I mean, everybody knows.
I was going to say, I don't know how many first dates you think I've been on.
All the first dates in my life. No, no, I'm kidding. Anyway, 7 seconds is hard to believe.
It is. So then how, which that leads me to think, how is that, if we're going to go with genuinity and being genuine here, how 7 seconds?
Yeah. Well, okay, so you were talking to me earlier about, we were talking about generational gaps, mm-hmm. and you know, age differences and things like that, about how we are social and how we interact socially, mm-hmm. and how somebody in, I think you said Gen Z, mm-hmm. interacts completely different than somebody like a millennial, mm-hmm. who... Gen Zs are all, we think, wow, they're just on their phone all the time. Mm-hmm. But that's when you consider all of the elements and all of the variables of them growing up. Mm-hmm. I mean, tell me.
So the person I was listening to talk about it, and you're a millennial, right? Like you fall within yeah. that window. So was she was also a millennial. I am as well. And she was said, she said, you know, like as millennials, like we'll never be okay. She's like, you know, we thought we had seen trauma and seen whatever when September 11th happened. And then, we watched our parents, have to sell the second family car and have to downsize our homes or whatever when, the recession happened. Which I think I was very fortunate there. I don't know that I, and I guess I'm old enough that I probably yeah. wasn't living at home even when that Same. Happened. But, and then, well, and she was just saying that like, we've all seen all this stuff happen and then we've seen COVID happen and like what the fallout of that was. And so she was saying like, millennials, we'll never be okay. We're just what we are at this point. Gen Z, they again, also grew up during a big part of their early education, mm-hmm. And probably like middle school life at this point, I suppose, middle school to early elementary, maybe even early high school at this point, they were really in those formative years during COVID when everything shut down and they went to school and they did e-learning. They didn't have interaction with their peers. We had very little interaction even outside of our own homes. And so everything that they are used to is directly in front of them on a phone or on a computer or a tablet. And it's not that they, are rude or insensitive or any of that. It's that that's how they know how to interact with each other, that everything is right there in front of them. And so while like you and I might make jokes or whatever as a way to connect with somebody, and get that form of, approval or, acceptance or whatever, these kids get it through the likes and the follows and the interactions they get online because their social circles are so much bigger than even what our social circles are or were, because they had like the whole world at their fingertips that they were interacting with, really.
Yeah.
And so while it's scary, it's also really cool that like they have all of, like they know how to access that stuff. They know, and hopefully for the greater good.
Right.
I mean, there's always going to be that.
Sure.
You know, yeah. one-off situation where it's terrible, but for the most part they have, so it's just a different way of interacting, and it's not. And so then like people like you and I have a hard time, like, why can't they just put their phone down and like have a conversation with me? Or one of the things that I've really come across lately, and especially now working at the college, is that people from like the age of 18 to 22 right now, they really struggle with eye contact. Mm-hmm. They really struggle with any kind of conversation. There's a lot of those things that we consider quote, in quote, common sense or whatever that they have no idea. But again, they grew up in that time period where that stuff wasn't there.
Right.
You were at home.
Right.
Or like I told you earlier, even when I went back into the classroom with 4 and 5 year olds, like that first year that we all went back to school after COVID, they didn't know how to do anything for themselves because they didn't have to. Yeah. It used to be like if you had kids who were the oldest in their family, they were super self-sufficient because they were the oldest. They had to take care of themselves because mom and dad were taking care of the littler ones and whatever. So then like that was my first year, I guess. And then the second year was like the year that the kids would have been like 2 and 3 during COVID and they could do zero things by themselves. Like putting on a t-shirt for like a paint shirt. They were trying to put their heads through the armholes. Like they just had no idea because nobody had time to wait for them to do this. Like, come on, let's go.
Right.
And they just did it for them.
Interesting. So going back to that thought though, about how,
sorry, I kind of derailed us there.
No, you're fine. Going back to the thought though, about the Gen Z, for example, not really having the social interaction with in person, like face to face in person, but more through technology. So how then do you make that 5 to 7 second judgment?
Right. I don't know.
Of a person. Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, and this is just what I would say. If I, one of the other examples someone gave me the other day about this was, let's say you're interviewing someone and you're doing it via Zoom.
Yeah.
And they refuse to turn their camera on.
Right.
Well, I mean, I've obviously made a quick judgment of you there. You won't even turn, like you won't even be present for the interview, technically present. I mean, but yeah, I don't know.
And that's hard.
It is hard. And so then how are our younger people formulating these, or they just aren't?
Yeah.
If they're doing it all.
Well, a lot of people too, nowadays, I think jobs are so fluid in the way that they're done. Like it's not factory work so much anymore.
No.
Where and I'm being very loose with this term, but it where you go in, you clock in for a 9-to-5 job, clock out, go home.
Right.
And that's that. You might have your social interactions during that 9-to-5 period, but other than that, whatever. Now it's you might go in or you might work from home. You might work remotely, you know, you might travel.
Right. You might do some hybrid stuff where you go back and forth, but
most of your stuff might be phone. Most of your stuff might be Zoom.
Right.
Most of your stuff might be whatever. So jobs are so fluid now in the sense that they're taking on a lot more technology to where, the appearance or the look of a job just isn't the same. So even adults are starting to shift. I'm going to say, I won't go as far as saying lose it, but starting to shift in that social interaction.
When you say you're not going to say lose it, I think I'm in the camp that thinks it is easy to revert.
Sure. But I don't want to blanket that statement over all adults who are going through that.
Right. Sure. But I think that it would be easy if you, I mean, if you allowed yourself, like I'm somebody who definitely gets my energy from other people, but I do enjoy the being by myself.
Yeah. So that's kind of that introvert.
Right. Like I always really thought that I was an extrovert because I get my energy from other people. But the older I get, the more I realize I think that I'm an introvert that is able to, because it's how I recover, not how I interact in the moment. Like I can interact just fine in the moment, but if there's like a ton of social interaction, it takes me a while to like recover from that. Like it exhausts me. Mm-hmm. Right. And so again, I think I had the wrong idea of what introvert and extrovert was.
Yeah. So going back to being genuine then in people pleasing and all that, because of everything that we're talking about sort of opens up this whole new ball game of how do you people please in this age? Because you're walking through this, how do I want to say it? Walking through this process of going, okay, I need the validation. And I don't think that ever changes for people.
Right.
I mean, unless your insecurities or whatever are fixed or handled or whatever. But
lots of therapy.
Lots of therapy. But how do you go into now that everything is sort of technological and there's not so much the face to face? How do you deal with the validity and the validation of things that you're doing, the people pleasing, and because it looks different now.
I don't know. I think it's a definitely a different. Well, I mean, the people pleasing bit. I think if you're part of this group that does everything online, like that's just what you know. So like the Gen Z, for example, I think that is where you can fall in to those traps of you start posting stuff that you don't necessarily agree with, but that you know someone's going to be searching for and will interact with and engage with. And then you fall into that, like that, then that's not genuine anymore because that's not who you are.
But what you're doing is searching for validation.
Right. But you're searching for that validation.
Yeah. Interesting. And I think that there's a lot of people who have jumped on board with a lot of different things in life. Not for the sake of this is their conviction, but for the sake of I just need to feel a part of something or I need to feel validated.
Right. I mean, and think about it. All the social media, and this is why social media does get scary, is because once you, you know, and I think you and I have talked about this, once you hover over something or look at something, your algorithm and like your new, like the algorithm in your feed starts to cater to that view.
Right.
And so then if you've done these things for validation and like you've posted them, then everything that it's feeding you back is going to be that as well. And that's where we get caught up in these like cyclones of that's the only, like you lose sight of other things happening in the world. Like this becomes your only knowledge, your only,
You're in a bubble.
Yeah. Right. Like, it's like, you're just constantly spinning. Like I said, like in a cyclone, like you're spinning in the same information. And even if it's incorrect information, that's all that's going to be around you. So it looks and it becomes your truth.
Right. I am going to make this sound bad, but I've noticed now what I do is if I've clicked on something, like on YouTube, if I've clicked on something that sparked my curiosity, I will go in and remove it from my watch history because I know that other things like it will come up.
That's smart.
Because my whole feed then will start to come up. And you're like, all I wanted to do is watch that one video. And I don't need now all of this other junk to go around with it, but
yeah, that's how my YouTube feed looks, and it's not great. And it was like something like there was a television show, and I like looked up the doctor on the show, and now like that's all my feed is, and it's disgusting. I just mean, you know, because like medical field stuff is not.
Right.
My cup of tea.
Right. Right.
But now that's what I'm being fed constantly.
Right. Yeah. But it's the same with all the other stuff too.
For sure.
And I don't, YouTube's a little bit more manageable in the sense that you could do that. I don't know about
Right.
Facebook and Instagram.
Well, and the same thing applies, like, so last election cycle, for example, like my Instagram and my Facebook and TikTok, based on like conversations I had had with girlfriends, things that I had looked up to research myself, all of those avenues ended up flooded with like one party. So then it became really hard to decipher, like, what is truth, what is fact, what is fiction. And to be able to even like consider the other side's viewpoint. And I'm definitely somebody who like wants to hear both. I don't want to just necessarily fall one way or the other. Like, there are things both parties that I might agree with or disagree with, whatever. But it became really hard and it became really negative. And I had to just completely remove everything for a while and just kind of let it sit, because I just, it was so overwhelming to me. And, like, I know, like, so we started talking about all of this with, you know, being genuine and whatever, and it became where, like, I was not genuine in what I thought I knew, or even just like that thought process, because I didn't have any way. There was no checks and balances, so to speak, I guess is what I'm saying here.
Right.
No way for me to even check myself. Is that really how you feel?
Right.
Is that really who you are? Mm-hmm. Kind of thing.
And I think a lot of times what happens is we take knowledge and we wear it almost like clothing. It becomes an outer persona of who we are. But because we've not really, and maybe that's what I feel like these podcasts are all about, is diving deeper into things that we just haven't really, we haven't taken time to question. We've heard maybe the general teaching or the general knowledge, and we've just accepted it. And it's right. Like it sticks to you, you know, like Velcro. But really we've not.
It's like that game you used to play.
Right.
The ball is right to the Velcro.
But it doesn't, we haven't gotten deeper into it to really feel like, is this really what I believe?
Right.
You know, is this almost right down to our faith? Because I think people just can call themselves something. You can call yourself a Christian or whatever. Or people call themselves Catholic or Lutheran or whatever. And I'm going, okay, do you agree with everything that they teach? Well, I don't know everything that they teach. Why not? Well, I've grown up Lutheran. It's all I've known. Or I've grown up Methodist. Or I've grown up Catholic. It's all I've known. But how much do you really know about it? So diving in deeper into those things. Diving in deeper to Christianity in general, the faith of Christianity. And this is where I think I want to talk, because for me, I think we can get into this in a minute, but I think God appreciates true, genuine, raw, unfiltered personality coming to him.
Right.
I don't know if in modern times we a people know how to do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if we know how to do that with ourselves.
Yeah. It's true. That is true. Because there's so many things that, like, yeah. Like, if you were to say, well, what is it that you think about this? And I would think, well, this is what I've told myself I think about this, or this is what I think of this, but I have no way to back it up.
Right.
And that's how you go to God also. That's kind of scary. And he knows, he already knows that that's not how you genuinely feel.
Right. He's searched it. But I also think then, how do you learn about who you are if you're not trying to confront even your darkest demons. Mm-hmm. You know,
right?
How are you coming to terms with who you are? How are you open to improvement? How are you open to being the better you or the, being mm-hmm. the best you? If you can't confront your deepest, darkest mm-hmm. self,
right?
And
I don't know that you can.
I don't know that you can either.
Because it feels like, and I think it was you and I that talked about when people say it is what it is, mm-hmm. it just kind of makes your skin crawl. Cause like, no, it's not. Mm-hmm. It is what it is like sweeping it under the rug or putting a Band-Aid on it or whatever. No, why is it how it is? Mm-hmm. And if you don't like how it is, how are you going to change it?
Right.
Like, what steps are you going to take?
The problem is... I typed this out on my website, but I said, it is what it is. They are five words that I almost despise them. Mm-hmm. And yet I gravitate towards them.
Sure.
In any given moment that I can't have an answer for.
Cause it's the easy answer.
It's the easy answer.
And it's become an acceptable answer to people.
It has. It's also a slough off answer.
It is. But I mean, honestly, I mean, it's an answer when you don't want to give the answer to someone.
Yeah.
It's an answer when we don't know the answer. It's an answer when we don't want to face the answer. It's.
Yeah. Just shut the conversation down.
Right.
It is so, what it is.
So going back to your genuinity.
Right.
There's none of that in the phrase, it is what it is.
No. That's just some form of acceptance that isn't uh-huh. even...
Right.
I don't even know that it's acceptance.
No. It's almost like just disgust with the situation. It is what it is.
Yeah, whatever. It is what it is. Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. That's how we do it, though.
We do.
Yeah. Okay, so going back to, like, that relationship with God, then... Mm-hmm. I think probably for anybody, even the biggest story you could relate it to in the Bible would be Job. Mm-hmm. I mean, Job going through so much. And he sits there for like 7 days, not really saying anything. And then all of a sudden it just comes out. Mm-hmm. And he just starts, he never curses God, but he just starts in mm-hmm. and he's going, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. I can imagine if I were Job, there would probably be words that I would say that I don't normally say. What the?
Where's your beep button?
Yeah, right.
Beep.
What is going on?
Yeah.
What have I done so wrong?
Right.
What have I done that has caused this to happen? Mm-hmm. You know, and if you've got a case against me, Lord, tell me.
Right.
But I've been in those mm-hmm. moments for my own personal. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been in those moments where I've come to God and I've just went, I don't get it.
I don't get it. And I'm mad at you.
Yeah.
And I'm more than mad at you. I'm angry, furious. Yeah. But you know, he can handle it.
He can handle it. Big shoulder. But then also when you read Job in the end, he confronts Job and Job just kind of like, oh, mm-hmm. I spoke out of turn. Mm-hmm. But Job learned something. But God never said Job did anything wrong either. In mm-hmm. fact, God was mad at Job's friends for saying false things, which I think is the other thing, too, that we do as Christians. We will shout out or throw out all of the scriptures mm-hmm. like we know. Mm-hmm. Or we throw things out that we think that we understand or we know. We really don't even have mm-hmm. A good concept of it. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes like his friends. We're speaking falsely mm-hmm. about situations.
Right. Which is so dangerous.
Very.
I don't know why, but just when we were talking about being angry at God and he can handle it and we speak out of turn, the vision that came into my head was this very big brother or father figure with his hand out against your forehead as you kick and scream and punch and try to get it. And he's just like, you know what? You're just going to have to calm down. I got this under control. Until you wear yourself out.
Right.
And decide he does have the answer.
I think God probably looked at Job and said, get it all out.
Right.
Because it's coming.
Right.
Yeah. Let it all come out. Let it all out. Come on.
You're going to feel better.
You're going to feel better.
Isn't that so true, though, about so many things in life? Just get it over with.
And or get it out.
Get it out. Yeah.
Bring it to light.
Mm-hmm. Don't let it sit and fester.
Don't let it sit and fester.
And so often we make these things in our heads so much bigger than what they are if we would just bring them out and bring them to light.
Well, that's true, too. But also not shove them under the rug.
Right. Because it is what it is.
Yeah. But we get to that point, literally, we're going, mm-hmm. and if you would bring it to light and bring it out, how much quicker?
Mm-hmm. You could know, just be healed or taken care could, of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think when you are willing to genuinely face yourself mm-hmm. in that kind of a manner, mm-hmm. and to be genuine even if you don't think that you're wrong in something, mm-hmm. you know, even if you think this is, and I am going to just literally come before God and let it out.
Mm-hmm.
Not that, don't curse God.
No, it's probably not wise.
No, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying to really be yourself because mm-hmm. he's already searched your heart. Just like you said,
mm-hmm.
he's already searched your heart. He knows. Mm-hmm. But do you know?
Right. I think that's just it. So often we don't.
Yeah.
I mean, and I keep going back to this. I wish I could find it. But the saying that people pleasing is really doing a disservice to yourself
mm-hmm.
and is not you being you.
Right.
That's huge to me because I know I'm a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that I necessarily love about myself. But also, there is a piece of it that I like because I feel like I make people feel happy. But at what cost?
Yeah.
You know, and is it okay to make people feel happy and you aren't happy about it?
Mm.
Like, that's not like a joyful, you know, like...
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Do you? Like, does that make sense? I don't know. I feel like I'm not forming a complete sentence or thought.
Well,
but yeah.
It's more like, okay, I think some people get to this point of, I'm going to call it almost like a self-deprecation. Is that what I want to say?
Maybe.
Where I will beat myself down if it makes you happy. I will
uh-huh.
throw myself into the fire mm-hmm. metaphorically.
Right.
If it can people please, if it can, you know, if it, mm-hmm. if that thought or whatever mm-hmm. helps you to be happy.
Right. It's like I've set myself on fire to make other people happy or to make other people feel whatever. And like, what did that really gain? First of all, did it really make the other people happy? Because I probably, as much as I want to think that I seemed happy while I was doing whatever it was that I thought was making them happy, it didn't come off that way.
Right.
So now you've made these other people uncomfortable and you've sacrificed yourself, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like... Where's your genuinity in that? Or where's your cheerful, joyful giver? You know, like
mm-hmm.
you've lost what you were supposed to be doing in the first place.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, here's the question I have. If you...
or like if you're going to resent it, then you shouldn't be doing it.
Mm-hmm. If you are supposed to... in a sense, love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say, I love you and I will hate myself to love you. That doesn't work that way.
Right. Right.
I will hate myself to love you. It's not it's love your neighbor as yourself.
You know, like I've known that my whole life. Mm-hmm. It's been recently, and I don't know, maybe it was you that said it. Like, how can you possibly love your neighbor? I mean, how much do you love your neighbor if you hate yourself? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you probably said it much more eloquently than that, but you get my idea. That I kind of went, huh, interesting. Same with like any relationship. How can you love somebody
if you
don't love yourself?
If you don't love yourself. And it's not placing yourself as a higher priority than people. That's not, and I think that we need to understand that difference too. Mm-hmm. Because it's not saying, I love myself greater, and then what funnels down after that, I will give to other people. It's I love myself this way. And because I love myself this way, I want to give that love then to other people. Mm-hmm. But I can't if I don't really truly. Mm-hmm. I can act in kindness, mm-hmm. and that's one thing.
Mm-hmm. Kind doesn't equal love.
Kind doesn't necessarily. It's an aspect of love, but it's not mm-hmm. the fullness of love.
No, kind is easy.
Kind is easy. Mm-hmm. And until we grab a hold of the fact that love is so much more than just being kind. Mm-hmm. I mean, to love your neighbor as yourself is more than just mm-hmm. going out and being kind.
Right. I'm going to put a pin in that thought, I think. Basically, I guess what I want to say here is, yes, love your neighbor as yourself. Having teenage daughters... Mm-hmm. And they come home and they talk about, oh, so-and-so drives me crazy and blah, 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 blah. And I've always said to them, you don't have to be their friend, but you have to be kind to them. Mm-hmm. So I guess when you were just speaking, what I was thinking was, you know, we love our friends. We love our best friends and we're kind to them. We love them in big ways, and then we're also kind to them, so it goes hand in hand. But then me saying to my girls, like, you don't have to be everybody's friend, but you do have to be kind, I guess is where I'm going, okay, whoa, like, kind is easy. Mm-hmm. But then when you throw in the love your neighbor as yourself piece, it feels like that was bad advice.
well, and here's the other thing. When you're talking about people, like somebody gets on your nerves or whatever, mm-hmm. look, if there wasn't love, and I don't want to blanket this, so if mm-hmm. I think each person should search their heart mm-hmm. and try to understand where they're at. But in many instances, if somebody's bothering you, somebody might be bothering you because your desire is to give them love, mm-hmm. but
they aren't willing to accept that,
or they don't know how to accept it mm-hmm. or whatever. Their response just is not meeting your sort of expectation right. or whatever. But then, you know, you're going, okay, so what do I do with that? Well, in my heart, I'm going, I really want to give them love, but, mm-hmm. but they're not meeting my expectation and response, and it drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. It makes me mad or whatever, or mm-hmm. it upsets me. So I think that we have that to be positive and to give a good, like, I don't want to beat people down, mm-hmm. But to give a good positive spin to this is, I think that we deep down, there's a part of us that does want to love.
Yeah.
I think that we don't know how to, and we don't know how to receive it. And that's why we look for the validations. We look mm-hmm. for the people pleasing. We look for all the ways that we can have the feels, mm-hmm. but that's the extent of it.
Mm-hmm. We look for all the ways for it to validate ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oof. It's a tough one.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
But saying that and understanding that about who we are mm-hmm. in itself makes us genuine.
For sure.
And when we dive deep into that and we start to navigate through our feeling, why do I feel what I feel? Why do I need the validation? Mm-hmm. Why do I need to people please? Mm-hmm. I can't just accept it as what it is.
Right.
This isn't just who I am. There's a reason I'm doing this. And if it's causing me hurt mm-hmm. in the long run, then it's something to navigate. Mm-hmm. It can't be, it just is what it is.
Right.
I need to navigate through this. And I need to say, why do I people please? Because it's gotten me in trouble a few times. Why do I people please? Why do I feel the need to validate myself? Why do I feel the need to take on other people's problems? You've talked about that before. Why do I feel the need to do the things that I do that cause me hurt mm-hmm. in the long run?
Right.
You know, and it's really an act of hating myself in the long run.
Ooh. Yeah. Yikes.
Even though I'm looking for love, but I'm doing things. It's almost like I hate myself because I'm doing these things to myself.
Uh-huh.
I'm a masochist.
Like I'm creating all these issues for myself. And then how are you genuine and how do you attract the right people if you aren't like the right people in your life, the right friendships, the right.
Right. You would do toxic relationships.
Right. Because you have, that's not genuinely who you are to begin with, but now that's how you've aligned yourself and what it looks like. And that's what you draw in then. Mm-hmm. Ugh.
I know.
Gross. Ugh. Rude.
Rude. I need more coffee.
I feel like you can hear me drinking my tea over here. So yeah. I've been going slow with it.
That's all right. No, that's good. Diving into that way mm-hmm. is very good in understanding that. So, being genuine with God, I think mm-hmm. is a way of self-improvement.
Yeah.
It's a way for God to reveal to you who you are, for you to see who you are, mm-hmm. what's in your heart as you move forward. Understanding that it's okay. Mm-hmm. I think it's okay to be upset, mad, angry. It's not okay to rest in it.
Right. It's not. Yeah. You can't live there.
Yeah. Because I think in the long run that causes bitterness, mm-hmm. and whatever, but I think it's okay to navigate through being angry.
Yeah.
And allowing that to come out.
Uh-huh. You know, we didn't talk about it so much in this episode, I guess, but, you know, obviously kids are my thing. Mm-hmm. And with going into the youth stuff, one of my big hopes and prayers is that the kids will come and be comfortable and see that I am genuinely interested in them. And I want them to come and be their genuine selves. So if you're coming and you've got what you think is broken, gross, shame, I don't want to talk about, like, I want them to bring that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, well, first of all, that's how you're going to get, you know, through these things. But I think so often we think, well, I can start going to church once I get this out of my life, or I can become involved once I know all these answers, or I can lead the youth once I know X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to know all the answers.
No.
And I think that's okay. And I think that's okay for the answer to sometimes be, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Let's figure it out.
Right.
Like, I don't think you can get more genuine than that. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, like in those situations. And so if we can bring all of that stuff and bring it before God and let the Holy Spirit work through us to fix those things and just be open and genuine. I don't know. Like, just the idea of that is so exciting to me. Mm-hmm. Messy, mm-hmm. but exciting.
I want to backtrack just for one second to say, while I believe that it is I believe it's okay to allow yourself to be angry,
mm-hmm.
and to allow that to come to light. Not what I'm saying is not shove it under the rug,
right?
But to recognize it,
mm-hmm.
to navigate through it. Why am I angry? When I say let it come to light, there are responses that are healthy responses.
Yes.
I don't want people to think that I'm saying, you know, abusiveness or anything like that is an okay response.
Right, it's acceptable. Right.
I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is the more you let anger fester mm-hmm. beneath, and even what you're talking about, the hurts, the pains, all that, the more that you let that fester underneath without ever facing it,
mm-hmm.
the more it grows.
Mm-hmm.
And the more it grows, the more unhealthy responses
mm-hmm.
you'll have when somebody finally reaches your tipping point and they press that button
mm-hmm.
for the wrong, you know, right. the wrong time. And then all of a sudden, here you go. Now you've got the unhealthy responses.
Right. I mean, it's just like thinking about stuff taking root, and the more you feed it and the more you feed it and water it and feed it and mm-hmm. whatever, the roots just grow deeper.
Right.
And so we don't want to do that.
Right. So, I mean, cautious about that. But then again, you're right. Like with anybody, mm-hmm. whether it's youth or whoever, you're right. going, come with the failures.
Right.
Come with the hurts.
Right.
Come with the, that's what this is about.
We all have those things.
Absolutely.
It's just a matter of how we handle them, how we face them.
Mm-hmm.
And I only single out youth and kids there because, again, those are my people.
Right, right. But yeah, absolutely. Anybody who is dealing with that stuff, it's mm-hmm. important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to that you can be able to go even to God and go,
mm-hmm.
what the? I don't know.
Listen. I might stop short there.
Oh, come on.
Maybe I don't know. All my flabbers are gasted there. I don't know.
I do have a joke for you.
Okay.
Speaking of.
Okay.
I think I've told this to you, but we're going to tell it again.
All right.
And we can just laugh.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Ba-dum-tsh. So I know I told you this joke. Mm-hmm. But I haven't told my listeners, so.
Okay. Your listeners.
My listeners.
Me and Dan.
Yeah, that's right. Ooh.
Burn.
Wait. Go back to that.
What?
Anyway. Jewish guy,
mm-hmm.
his son comes back from Israel. I told you this joke, didn't mm-hmm. I? Yeah.
I don't remember it, but
his son comes
I mean,
back.
I remember this first part, but anyway,
go ahead. Son comes back from Israel and he asks his son how the trip was. And his son tells him that the Holy Land was beautiful. Everything was amazing and whatever. And he proceeds to tell him that he accepted Christ as his savior, as the mm-hmm. Messiah. So he became a Christian. And his father just flies off the handle. Well, his father goes over to a friend's house and he goes, I got to tell you this. He says, my son went to Israel and he came back and now he's a Christian. And the father goes,
what?
And he goes, I got to tell you this. My son went to Israel too. And he came back a Christian. And then it became,
what?
So they decide they're going to go to the rabbi. And they go into the rabbi's office and they interrupt it. And the rabbi goes, what are you doing? I'm in the middle of prayer. What could be so important? And they go, Rabbi, our sons went to Israel and they came back and now they're Christian. And of course it was like,
What?
And the rabbi goes, I got a secret. And he shuts his office door and he says, my son went to Israel too. And now he's a Christian. And by this time, they're all going crazy. And the rabbi says, come on, we'll go to the sanctuary and we'll pray and we'll ask God. So they go and they kneel down, and the rabbi looks at the people and he goes, now you, he says, you sit there because I'm the rabbi. I'm eloquent. I will pray to the Lord. And he goes, so they're kneeling there and he goes, Abba, what the hell is going on? Our sons go to Israel and now they come back as Christians. And this thundering voice comes on. And he goes, Yahweh, well, my son too. <to Israel." laughs> But it's funny because what makes it funny, because we're talking about genuinity.
Right.
And the rabbi's going, I'll pray because I'm eloquent. And then what the?
Oh, man. You know. Yeah.
Well, I think we need to be able to be genuine like that with God.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think sometimes people feel like they have to filter themselves even in like the church setting. Mm-hmm. And while I know, yes, there are some things that just really aren't
appropriate
to say, can I say there's also a piece of when people don't filter themselves that's so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what? You've got it figured out. Like, you didn't say anything that was terrible.
Rough around the edges, maybe.
But, you know, like really actually hurting someone or, you know, whatever. Right. It's not hurtful. And so there's something that's very refreshing about that. I'm crying about your little joke. I think the added voices really did it for me that time. Otherwise, the answer would have been wow.
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 Yeah. I agree with you. People coming in who can just feel like they can be genuine, mm-hmm. and them who they are. Mm-hmm. And if it's not right, mm-hmm. or if, you know, God doesn't like that, I have to trust in the fact that there is a Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. who can do as much work in them as he's done in you and mm-hmm. me and whoever else.
Right.
He will come in and he will do things. Mm-hmm. He can work with that person. No problem. Right. But I also think, and I had this thought this morning, when I woke up, I think that God looks down and he goes, I see the battles, the inner battles within that person. Mm-hmm. Or he looks down on me and goes, I see your inner battles. Mm-hmm. You might as well not put on a show.
Right.
You might as well not try to filter it.
Because again, that's not genuine. You're not going to God genuinely then.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think
it was like me telling you the other day, I know God knows that I got battles going on. I really hope you sent the angel with all the eyes.
Right.
Because I need some things to be looking out from all directions.
Well, and I think I asked you because we did that episode about angels and angel final earth destination, and asking you and then other people too, like, I mean, if you want the guardian angel, do you want the little chubby baby?
No, I want the scary looking one.
Yeah.
I want the scariest looking one you can get. And we're going to be besties.
We're going to be besties because he's got my back.
That's right.
Yeah.
And nothing coming for me.
Right. And again, God looks down going, I see the battles. Mm-hmm. I see the wars.
Right.
So you might as well, let's just battle it.
Yeah.
And not you battle it and I'll sit back and watch.
Right.
I mean, God saying you battle it and I'll sit back and watch.
No.
But God saying, if you would let me, I will win the battle for you.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, and you know, being very vulnerable here on this, you know that I've been struggling with some different things. And I'm going, God, why? Like, mm-hmm. I'm doing the right things. The things that I think are the right things. the things that I feel like you've led me to do, the things that I feel like you're telling me to do. I'm doing those things. Why? And then it's like he's going, be patient, child.
That too.
Because then, you know, like last week was a terrible week. And then like all these little tiny things have happened where I'm going, okay, I hear you. Mm-hmm. I see you. I hear you validating me. Mm-hmm. I see the thumbs up you just gave me mm-hmm. kind of thing. And if I wasn't being genuine, even though he would know those things about me still, would they be resolved?
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't be admitting them to myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like as a parent, we know our kids are making the wrong decisions sometimes, but we have to sit back and let them make the decision, even though we know there's going to be fallout. We know there's going to be hurt. We have to let them work it out. As long, you know, within reason, of course. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the same thing God does.
Absolutely.
And so we might as well, like you said, just come and be genuine.
Mm-hmm. The bad part is sometimes we do things and we know that on the other end of it is some sort of consequence. And we're hoping for, I don't know about you, but I'm hoping for the grace and the mercy at the end of it instead of going, oh, I got to face the.
Right. I don't want the punishment. I don't want the fallout. I want it to be like, well.
Yeah.
Stick your hand out here.
Right.
Let me smack your fingers.
And I think sometimes, I think God, in order to prove his grace for you, mm-hmm. I think sometimes there are things that take place in your life that if you truly love God, and if you have gone through or going through some battles, and when you're making dumb decisions or whatever, I think God sometimes steps in and still blesses,
mm-hmm.
not because you deserve it,
mm-hmm.
not because of anything else, but to prove his grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because his grace is supposedly unmerited favor.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't earn it.
Right.
But yet I think, well, the only time God's going to bless me is when I'm doing good.
Right. Nah. I've been blessed a lot of times when I didn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
When I deserved everything but.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I think that would be naive to think differently.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I hope that people will listen tonight and whenever this gets posted.
They're going to say, ooh, that girl, she's like a squirrel. She's like.
No. I hope that they'll listen to this and go, you know what? Maybe I need to examine myself.
Yeah.
If for nothing else, maybe I already know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And it's affirmation.
Right.
Or maybe there's some work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's reaffirming my faith. Maybe it's reaffirming, I don't know, the very core of who I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think because we're always constantly changing and growing, there's always work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we were to think, oh yeah, I already do all that, I'm good to go. Well,
yeah.
Maybe today.
Yeah, maybe.
But who knows what happens tomorrow? So just, you know.
Mm-hmm. But then to also say, you know what? I'm giving up the it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm moving forward. I'm willing to dive in, ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to express my anger. Not in an unhealthy way.
Right.
But to recognize I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why this is going on. I have a very dear friend who's battling cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, the way she interacts with God is very raw and unfiltered, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the sense that she can get angry mm-hmm. at God and go, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why you're allowing this to happen. Or even saying, I don't know why you're doing this to me, mm-hmm. even if God's not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to really look and go, okay, I'm going to put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, eventually, hopefully God will do a Job moment and go, okay, let's talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then answer those questions. But, or maybe she might get to a point where she doesn't need the answers. I don't know. Everybody's goes through their moments.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we get the answers. Sometimes we get to a point where God gets us to a point where we just, it's not the answer that we ever needed. We just needed comforted and
mm-hmm.
told that it's going to be okay.
Right.
So, I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming on and talking with me about it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. I've had Dan on for a few episodes.
Gee whiz, Dan.
I know.
Podcast hog.
All right. Thanks for coming back on. And I will have you back on as a guest again. I won't let him hog all of it.
Someday.
Someday. Until next time.
Bye.